Welcome, Josh.
Thank you. Actually, I don't need this. I think I got this, so. And you forgot my daughter.
Oh, yeah.
She's in Korea.
Wow.
She's going to Word of Life Bible Institute out there.
Amen.
And that
Hallelujah.
Is awesome. And I am so proud of all of my children. It's, yeah, it's a crazy thing to be a dad, right? So I have some cards. I want to pass these around. If you would take one and pass the rest, make sure everybody gets one. We won't deal with that card until the end, but I want to get it out there for you guys. So Ed asked if I would speak a while ago, and I didn't know what I wanted to speak on. And so I had been praying, and the time I came before, we did Psalm 62, and we went through that, but what I'm preaching through at church right now is John. We're going through the whole book of John, and we're in John chapter 9. And this message, I just want to throw it out there. It may only be a message for me. You guys might not need this, but I do. So I apologize if that's the case. If you hear this message and you say, this is too simple, this is not for me, I didn't need this. Check this out. I hope you're blessed, but I know for me, this was a message I needed to hear. So hopefully it's a blessing to you. So I want to start with a simple question. Have you ever been put on the spot about your faith and didn't know exactly what to say? Maybe someone asked you a question about Jesus or about what you believe, or why your life looks different than the world, or why is your life changed? And in that moment, I don't know about you, but for me, I felt pressure. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. I didn't want to sound foolish. And maybe you just didn't feel prepared in that moment. So you hesitated. You stayed quiet. You gave a vague answer. And I think most of us men have been there. And in John chapter 9, we meet a man who finds himself in that exact same situation. Jesus has just healed him and given sight to a man who is blind from birth. His life has been completely changed. But instead of celebration, he's pulled into a series of intense conversations with the religious leaders. They question him. They pressure him. They challenge him about Jesus. Here's what makes this so helpful for us. This man isn't a trained teacher. He doesn't have all the answers. He hasn't had time to figure everything out. But he does know one thing. His life has been changed by Jesus. And he's forced to decide, will I stay quiet? Will I fall in line? Or will I speak the truth? So I want to look at a specific passage in John chapter 9. We're going to read verses 13 to 25. John chapter 9, verses 13 to 25. I'll start in verse 13. I'm reading from the ESV. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews didn't believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is your son who says he was born blind, or is this your son who who you say was born blind, how then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." So before we dig in, let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity and the power of this passage. And Lord, we ask now that you would open our eyes, not just to understand what the text says, but to see how it applies to our own lives. Give us clarity where we need it. Give us conviction where we need it. And give us courage to respond in faith. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So look back at what happens in verse 13. They bring this man to the Pharisees. Now just think about that for a minute. This is a man who's been blind from birth. Everyone knows it. Everyone's seen him. And now for the first time in his life, he can see. Wouldn't you expect a celebration? Wouldn't you expect joy? You would expect people saying things like, "This is incredible. This is amazing. How is this possible?" But instead, he's taken in for questioning. His healing becomes a problem. And that's how it works when Jesus changes a life. No one can deny that something real has happened. The man can see. That's not up for debate. But what is up for debate is what it means, and especially who Jesus is. And that's where the tension always is. People may acknowledge something has changed in your life, but they will not agree with you on why. Verse 16 shows the divide clearly. Some of the Pharisees say this man is not from God. Others say, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" So even among the religious leaders, there's disagreement. But notice, no one is neutral about Jesus. They may disagree with each other, but they all feel the need to make a judgment about him. And that hasn't changed. This is where the passage connects directly to us. If Christ has truly changed your life, even in quiet and steady ways, you shouldn't expect everyone to understand that or even appreciate that or affirm it. Often it raises questions. Sometimes it creates tension. Sometimes it even brings opposition. Not because you're looking for it, but because Jesus changes people. And that forces others to deal with him. And here's what I want you to see before we move on. This man isn't a trained theologian. Clearly, he doesn't have all the answers. He's about to be asked questions that he certainly doesn't have the answers to. But that's not what's required of him. He doesn't need to win an argument. He just needs to stand in what he knows is true. And the same is true for us. We don't need to be prepared for every possible objection. But you do need to be ready to stand. not shrink back. When people come to you and ask why your life is different, what does Christ mean to you? What has he done for you? We need to have an answer. Now in verse 18, the pressure increases. The Pharisees still don't want to accept what's right in front of them. So they go a step further and bring in the man's parents. It's almost as if they're saying, let's get to the bottom of this. Maybe the whole thing isn't even real. So now this isn't just about the man anymore. It pulls in his family. They ask the parents, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? Now, do you hear what they're doing? They're not just asking questions. They're trying to unravel the whole story from the very beginning. Was he really blind? Is this even legitimate? Because if they can cast doubt on the miracle, they don't have to deal with Jesus. The parents answer very carefully. They say they know this is their son and that he was born blind. So they confirm the facts. But then when it comes to how he now sees, they step back. Verse 22 tells us that they feared the Jews. John explains that anyone who confessed Jesus would be put out of the synagogue. And that doesn't sound like a big thing today. If you get kicked out of a church, there's another church down the road, right? There's another place for you to go. That's not what this means, to be put out of the synagogue. It's not small. It's social rejection. It's religious exclusion. It's a loss of an entire community. So fear starts to control what they're willing to say. In the end, they say he is of age. Ask him. In other words, they're not getting involved. They know the truth. They've seen the evidence. But they step back from owning it. They defer, they deflect, they distance themselves. This is where this passage presses on us. Fear has a way of pushing us into the background. Not necessarily into denying Christ outright, but into avoiding clear association with him. We let someone else speak. We change the subject. We keep things vague. We outsource our witnessing instead of owning it. And often, it's not because we don't believe, it's because we feel the cost. Where are you tempted to stay quiet about Christ? Is there a particular relationship? A setting? A conversation you've been avoiding? Now we come to the center of the passage. In verse 24, the Pharisees call the man back a second time. And listen to how they speak to him. Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner. This isn't a neutral question. They're not investigating anymore. They're pressuring him to agree with their conclusion. In other words, they're telling him to say what they want him to say and agree with them about Jesus. The pressure is now very direct. And this is what's so striking. The man doesn't take the bait. He doesn't step into a debate he's not equipped to win. He doesn't pretend to know things he doesn't know. He doesn't try to impress them with insight or argument. He simply refuses to go beyond what he actually knows to be true. And he gives one of the clearest, most powerful statements. Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know that though I was blind, now I see. Let me ask you something. If someone asked you today what Jesus has actually done in your life, what would you say? Not what you've read, not what you've heard, but what you know. What is your one thing I know? And there's no polish here. No complexity. No theological system laid out. Just a simple, unshakable testimony. This man doesn't stand there as an expert. He stands there as a witness. And that's an important distinction. Jesus doesn't call every one of us to master every argument. But he does call us to bear witness to what is true. The power of this man's testimony isn't in its complexity. It's in its clarity and honesty. A simple testimony is not a weak testimony. You want to know a weak testimony? A silent one. You may feel like you don't know enough. You may feel like you're not ready to answer every question. But if Christ has changed you, then you already have something real to say. The question isn't whether you know enough. The question is whether you will speak of what you know. Now I'm going to wrap things up. Let's go back to where we started. At the beginning I asked, have you ever been put on the spot about your faith and not known what to say? John 9 shows us that the issue isn't always that we don't know enough. Often it's that we feel the pressure and we hesitate. So here's the question I want to leave you with. What is your one thing I know? If someone asked you this week what Jesus has actually done in your life, what would you say? Not a full explanation, not every answer given. Just what do you know is true, and will you say it? And as we think about that, let's be clear about the foundation underneath it. The power of this man's testimony isn't just that his life is improved. It's that Jesus met him in his blindness and gave him sight. And that's the story of every Christian in this room. We weren't just confused. We were spiritually blind. Blind to our sin. Blind to the glory of Christ. And in his mercy, Jesus opened our eyes. He showed us our need. He showed us himself. He brought us from darkness to light. So when we speak, we aren't just giving an opinion. We're bearing witness to what Christ has actually done. Now, before we close, I want to give you something to take with you. Hopefully you all got one of those cards. At the bottom, there's a simple prompt. What is your one thing I know? And I want to give you just a minute right now, just quick. Write something down. One thing Jesus has accomplished in your life that you can testify to. Now, I forgot to pass out pens. I have some over there. So I apologize about that. But I want to encourage you, even if you can't do it right now, do it. It shouldn't be long. It doesn't have to be polished. And when you finish, hold on to it. And when that opportunity comes this week, you'll be ready. You'll already know what you're going to say. And to go along with that card, a simple challenge. Ask the Lord to give you an opportunity to speak. One conversation, one moment. Just say what you know. Be clear. Be honest. Point to Christ. Now, it may feel small in the moment, but simple, faithful words are often exactly what God uses. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank you for the work that you've done in our lives. Jesus, thank you. We thank you that where we were blind, you've given us sight through your Son. And Lord, we confess that many times we hesitate to speak. We feel the pressure. We feel the fear. We worry about what others think. But Lord, we ask that you would give us courage. Help us to be men who don't stay silent, but who are willing to speak clearly and faithfully about what we know to be true. Give us an opportunity this next week. Maybe even today. And when those moments come, help us to be ready, not with perfect answers, but with honest testimony. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, you bet. I'm going to grab my coffee.
Nothing simple about that, Josh. Thank you for that. We can listen to that all day long, every day. Questions for Josh?
Yes.
That's why you wanted him to stay up there. You had a question.
I did have a question. I don't know the context of it. Before he healed him, did the blind man ask him to heal him?
No. No, so the disciples, they're walking together. He's walking with the disciples, and the blind man is just sitting there. And one of his disciples asks, why was this man born blind? Who sinned? Was it him or his parents? Yeah, so that, and then Jesus just whoosh, picks up that mud, wipes it on his eyes. Yeah.
Amen.
Work on Sabbath was not God's rule.
That's right. So according to them, he's a sinner. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of that
unbelievable
work on the Sabbath. Can't spit on the Sabbath.
But also, that's a messianic healing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That only the Messiah would be able
that's
to
right.
Do.
Giving sight.
Healing a leper, healing
yeah.
A man born blind.
Yeah. Yes. And that's a cool area to study, just the fulfillment of those scriptures. Yeah, yeah, love it.
Hallelujah. Anybody online? Good to see you, Eric, coming to us from next door, from Key Wade. God bless you. Let's give Josh one more round of applause. That was lovely, Josh. Praise God. Nicely done. One thing I know for sure is I'm standing here in front of you today because of God. There is no other reason. I'm vertical in some ways. All right, gentlemen, very good. Praise God. It's prayer and praise time. Let's not be shy. Edward, I want the guys to hear online, so...
Well, it's always a praise to be able to pray for someone. First of all, we're praying to God, which is an amazing thing, that a privilege that we get to do. So it's a praise that we can pray for somebody. I want to pray for a guy by the name of Ron Thomas. He's a member of our church. He's been in the hospital for the last week and complications of pneumonia, but they really don't know what's wrong with him. So we're praying that they find something and can fix it. Or the Lord takes him home. Whichever the Lord chooses to do is fine. But I want to pray for Ron and his wife, Terry.
Well, when Ed got his stem cells last week, first thing I looked at was his hair to see if it got color yet. But how'd that go?
I didn't get a shot in the head.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Praise God. Yeah, Stephen. Well, it takes time. I think it.
He needs a couple months.
We're going to take up a collection so he can get another shot.
High velocity lead implant?
You know, I only tease the. Okay, we can do that. I only tease the ones I love. So I asked you to pray for Al Larson, who was one of our guys. Well, they found out that he has CMML, chronic, some big word, leukemia.
Oh, no.
So they're doing radiation and stuff like that. So Al Larson, he should be in your book from last week. Well, what's wrong with you, man? Just teasing. So if you could pray for him, we'd appreciate it.
Leukemia. It doesn't sound good. Kick it up for Al. Yes, Vernon.
Just a quick update. Carrie got back last night. Carrie and Linda, they had a good week with their sons out there, but they got back quite late last night, so that's probably why he's not here. Well, Matthew had our son Matt. He's got Williams syndrome. He's 46 years old. Lives with a host family. He's had pain in his legs, so they did a X-ray, and then I took him to a place where they did a C-scan for him, and he's got pretty severe scoliosis. So we're not sure what's going to take place after that, what they have to do for him. So pray about that process. Thank you.
He's with the. We pray for Matt's parents. We've prayed for you and your wife for years. That's a burden. But praise God. Hallelujah. This isn't much of a list, gentlemen. Okay. We got a taker, John.
Anyway, since you're hobbling along, bro. No, I have a friend. Her name is Leslie. She was my neighbor until 2 days ago, and she got foreclosed, and she's in a hotel. We did talk on Wednesday. We've talked about Jesus before, and we spent about an hour talking, and she rejects that he is a savior, and that's worse than losing your house. That's losing your soul. So anyway, Leslie, she needs Jesus. Just pray the Lord would work in her heart. And she also, losing your house is a tough thing to be, but don't know what else to say there. Thank you, brothers.
Thank you, John. Let's make sure John is on our prayer list. The Lord has called him to do some challenging work. The Lord's called him to interface with folks that aren't believers. So I know it's a burden for him. Doc?
So I had a review at my work. First review I've ever had. And I got a mild rebuke for talking about the Lord at the workplace. So it wasn't severe, but it was mild. And I did. I took it as a compliment. Anyway, thank you guys. Please pray for me. And anyway.
We'll give you a better review than. Hallelujah. Yeah, Vernon.
Josh, this is a question for you. You say your daughter is in South Korea?
Yeah.
Okay. I've heard that there's pressure on Christians over there, even in South Korea now. Is that true? I don't know how well known it is or anything.
But we didn't
And your daughter's name?
Chloe.
That's right. Let's put Chloe on our prayer list. God bless her. God bless her father and mother. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Good stuff. Yeah, and... Stephen, tell us about your big project with the name tags.
Thank you, Dennis. John found the name tags and put them back there, as you see. Here's the plan. You go through the name tags, and anybody you know that's passed away that's a former member, we're going to put them on the honor roll to the right. And anybody there that you remember and you know, you either take their card or write it down, maybe on the card that he gave us, and make an attempt to contact them. And then the big draw in my world is Brian Cabral will be here in a few weeks. That would be a good one. There's somebody else coming that's pretty prominent. Anyway, that's the next plan.
George Houston.
There you go. Yeah, the Muslim.
All right, we've got our marching orders for the name tags, gentlemen. Let's not let Steve down. Warren.
I want prayer for, I am the mediator for reconciliation on Monday night between two pastors. And... So I need prayer for that. I need wisdom for that. I need the Holy Spirit's presence for that. Pray for that, please. And I have an announcement for the Boulder Pregnancy Resource Center. We're having a fundraiser at Top Golf on the 25th. And even if you don't play golf, it is really a fun thing to come to. And there's a lunch, and it's just a lot of fun. Bring the whole family. And they even have, they've got grandchildren size clubs, so it's a lot of fun. Anyway, it's on the 25th at Top Golf, 10 in the morning. Thanks.
Thank you, Warren. We'll be praying for your mediation. My daughter, she's doing okay. Thank you, John. She's still in the woods. We'll get her out. She got 2 feet of snow in the last 2 days. No. Oh, that's sweet of you to ask. She listens to She listens to Calvary's messages on Sunday mornings. So we're grateful for that. Rick, how do we look on the from your perspective up there in Bailey?
Looking good.
Good.
Yeah, I got a brace that I figured this out because we're going to be spending a lot of time up here this summer, and I don't want to miss out on Friday.
Oh, hallelujah. That's great. That's great. So, give me a minute. Well, God bless you guys. Prayer and praise, going once, going twice. I would just ask you to pray for continued prayers for Beth. She's had a challenging week. She asked our son and his cousin to come out. She had all three of her boys there yesterday. So the prayer, as you know, is salvation. That's all I care about for her. I want to see her in the long run. Ask you to pray for me and pray for patience. My knee is causing me problems. But those aren't very big problems. We can work through that. Gary, thank you for the nutrition. Peter, nutrition, I use that term loosely. Fruit, that's right, that's right. Peter, God bless you. Hope you're doing okay. We appreciate you a ton. John McGarity, our Cracker Jack AV team. I use the team loosely. The orchestra, praise God. And by the way, thank you, Ed, that you guys saw the email. We've got a great list of speakers coming up over the course of the next month. We sure appreciate your work on that. We appreciate our guys on the screen. Josh, we appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stephen, would you close us out? Everybody up, please.
What an honor. If by chance you don't have a number, you can check with Ed or Gary, I think, have a historic list that we may get started on. Father God, thank you so much for Josh's message today and challenging us to be ready. We've all have earned the right to talk, and when the nudge comes up, share. Let us share Jesus with those around us. Protect us and our families this next week. And in God's name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Stephen. What a blessing.